ואם יש לנו משהו.
יש לנו
משהו.
Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verse 24. I'm going to go ahead and read it while you're finding your place. You're going to know it once I start. The scripture says, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." This is the day which the Lord hath made.
Amen.
He already made it.
Amen.
Yep. Now understand the thoughts of some. They'll quote that on Monday and say, "This is the day which the Lord hath made." And I understand that. They'll go to Tuesday and do the same. They'll go to Wednesday and do the same. But the psalmist is not dealing with the days of the week.
Right.
God in the beginning created the morning and the evening, and that was the first day, and so forth and so forth.
Right.
Some will take that as a special day, like today being Sunday. They have set it apart to be something sacred and something holy, something separated from the other days of the week. But that's not what the psalmist is dealing with.
Amen.
Matter of fact, Paul is having to deal with that at the Galatians in Galatians chapter 4. He said, "You have desire to be put back under bondage."
Right.
You observe religiously and you celebrate days and months, years and times and seasons. And Paul said, "I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain." They have observed certain days to be holy more than the others. That's not what the psalmist is talking about. Matter of fact, Paul said in Romans chapter 14, he said, "There's some men that esteem one day above another."
Yes, right.
"And there's others that don't esteem that day above any other day." He said, "Let them do it to the Lord." Amen, that's right.
Glory.
You know, Colossians over there, he deals with the same thing. So what is this day in which the Lord hath made? That the psalmist said, not only am I going to rejoice, he said, but we will rejoice. A confidence that the psalmist and the people had in God to say, "He's made this day and we're going to rejoice and be glad in it."
Amen.
Old Testament people of God said they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And they said, "Hey, we've not received the promises, but we've seen them afar off, and we're persuaded by them." I'm telling you, these people here, along with the psalmist, see the day that God has made and said, "Hey, we're not going to rejoice, we will rejoice."
Amen.
I'm so strong in this thing, I believe I'm included in the we, because I'm rejoicing that day today. Amen. Tomorrow I'm going to wake up, Jesus being the same today, yesterday, and forever. And my friend, we can rejoice, my friend, on Monday, just as God has today. Amen. I rejoiced in Him yesterday. Yesterday's gone. I'm rejoicing in Him today, because today's here. And if tomorrow comes, I'll rejoice in Him tomorrow.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
so what's the day? Well, we got to back up a few verses. Psalm 118, 19, "Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord." This gate of the Lord, into which the righteous shall enter. My friend, listen to me. It was not by the blood of bulls and goats, but my friend, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, when he entered into once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Praise his holy name. The gate in which the righteous enter, you've ever entered in. You've got something to praise him for. You've got something to rejoice in this morning. Amen. Oh, that's right. He said, I will praise thee. Thou hast heard me and art become my salvation.
Amen.
Here we go now. Here's the day. The stone which the builders refused is become. Wait a second. Not will become. Is become. I'm telling you somehow how much confidence the psalmist had. He already seen it. He was already sure of it, friend. That's why he could say, we will rejoice. Thank God. God let him see something. Thank God. He didn't receive it, but he saw it afar off. He rejoiced in it. Thank God. What day was it? It was the day the stone which the builders rejected, that same stone, become the headstone of the corner. Amen. What does psalmist say? This is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. And boy, they had to cry out and say, this is the day. Oh yes. This is the day. Thank God, which God the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Cause it was the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. Amen. Well, go on further down into the scriptures in Matthew chapter 21, verse number 42. Jesus begins to say a parable. Matthew 21, verse 42, I believe it is. Jesus saith unto them, did you never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? The same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our eyes. Well, you gotta look at the parable he's talking about. He said, here another parable. Matthew 12, 33, there was a certain householder which planted a vineyard, hedged it round about, digged a wine press in it, built a tower, let it out to husbandmen, went into a far country. When the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen. They might receive the fruits of it. The husband took his servants. He beat one, killed another, stoned another. Again, he sent other servants more than the first. And they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent of them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. But when the husband saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir, come, let us kill him. Why? That we may seize upon his inheritance. We want it. What belongs to him, we want it by the works of our own hands. You see? And they caught him, cast him out of the vineyard, and slew him. I'm going to tell you, my friend, Jesus had to begin to rebuke that crowd. He said, have you not read over in Psalm 118, verse 24, the stone that the, verse 22, the stone that the builders refused, rejected, the same has become the headstone of the corner. You've ever read that? You're doing it now. What makes a Pharisee a Pharisee? Is it because he fasted twice a week? Nope. Is it because he memorized the first five books? Nope. What makes a Pharisee a Pharisee? Because he tries to live right and do right to please God? No. A Pharisee's a Pharisee when he tries to do what he does to be righteous before God. He does what he does so he can try to please God by the words and fruits of his own hand. That's why they want to seize upon the Son. That's why they want to kill him so they can obtain his inheritance by what they do instead of what he's done. Amen. Mark chapter 12, I believe it is. Luke chapter 20 tells us the same parable. Go over to Acts chapter 4. Peter and John done seen a man in chapter 3 laid at the gate. And that man asked Peter and John some alms. And Peter fastened his eyes on him. Now me and Brother Hyatt talked about this. I said, man, why can't we just have enough confidence and faith in God to fasten our eyes on somebody and do what Peter did?
Yeah.
Good night.
He
asked me, "How, what's stopping you?" I said, "Well, to my shame, unbelief."
Yes, sir. Amen.
I'll just be honest.
Yes, sir. Right.
You get honest, you'd say the same thing.
Yes, sir.
He gave him unto them, expecting to receive something of it. This man thought he was going to receive some alms from Peter and John. He got a whole lot more than that. Peter says, "Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give on what you got, Peter! I got something worth more than silver and gold!
Amen.
In the name! In the name!
Yes, sir.
That is above every name!
Right.
At that name, every knee shall bow! At that name, every tongue shall confess of things in heaven, of things on the earth, of things under the earth, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk! Have I never dreamed and ever walked? My Bible said this man ain't never walked. He was lame from birth. He didn't know what it's like to walk on his own two legs. Here all of a sudden, Peter and John, full of the Holy Ghost and faith in God, reached down and grabbed that man by the hand, picked him up, and for the first time in all of his life, that man that was laid there by the gate, thank God, stood up strong on his own two feet. Thank God, went into the temple leaping for joy. And thank God, he's worthy this morning. That's his name. Well, there were some people that didn't like it. There always is. Peter saw it. He answered unto the people. They marveled and they wondered what in the world's going on. You men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Why look you so earnestly on us as though we by our own power of holiness made this man know what's amazing in it? We got people today that are, yeah, I done that. Yeah, look what I've done. You say, how do you know that? All you got to do is read behind them. They'll tell you everything they've done.
That's right.
Peter said, why are you looking on us like by our own power we've done this? Or by our own holiness, we accomplished something. Thank God when old Cornelius, Peter come to Cornelius' house, what do you find Cornelius doing? Bowing down at Peter's feet. What did Peter do? Sit there and let him?
No,
he said, get up! How about salve of a man? You're bound before the wrong one!
Yes, sir.
Amen. One of them people at the island started calling out to Jupiter and Mars or Mercury, you know. And that they're praying to Paul and Silas. Paul said, hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, we're living in such a day, men let other men praise them, won't they?
Yeah.
Huh? Like they've accomplished something. Look at my infrastructure I built.
Oh, yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Look at this multi-million dollar facility that was reared up by my hands. You got that right. It was reared up by your hands.
That's
ain't that right?
That's right?
God.
Hey, I'm telling you something, friend. You like it or not, except the Lord build the house, you're going to labor in vain at building.
Yes,
yeah, man. You're building on your, hey, they're building on their foundation.
That's it.
Yeah. There's a foundation already laid.
Yes, sir.
You ain't going to lay another one.
Right. Yes, sir.
It's already laid.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something. When the hot shots of our day are dead and gone, thank God, listen to me now, that foundation's still going to stay right there.
That's right.
What a day that would be, my friend, listen to me, if men will quit worrying about all the little works they've done, all these little things, little tricklets and gadgets are trying to get people interested in the things of God. Just take that Bible, praise the Lord, and preach Christ high and lift it up. Get your hands off of it. Let God get His hands in it. I guarantee you, my friend, it'll be worth it if we let God build the house. Amen. I'm not talking about these four walls, neither. Are you hearing me? If this place burnt down, where's the fellowship building? Is it attached to the, is it attached? Okay, well good. I don't want to burn down when we're in the fellowship building. But if this place was to burn down after we walk out of here, trust me, the work of God is going to keep going on. Are you listening to me? I want to hear, I want to be real plain. I know the terminologies and I understand. Okay. But get this in your head.
Yes, sir.
This four-wall brick building, God does not dwell here.
That's right.
When you're gone and the lights are turned out, God's not sitting up here waiting on you to come back. Are you listening? That's just that people's rake me over the coals for this, and that's okay. Now listen to me. Where does God dwell? Okay, we're about to find out a little on further down there in Ephesians chapter 2 what this stone's all about. Why was the psalmist rejoicing so much in this stone? Well, it's... Let me read Acts 4:11. Let's go on back up in there in verse number 9. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Let's go ahead and examine it. Here we go. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by Him doth this man stand here before you whole. Here's what Peter said. This is the stone. He going all the way back to the psalmist. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And the confidence of the psalmist when he said, thank God, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. The day the stone become the headstone of the corner. Are you listening? Ephesians chapter 2 now. I didn't write none of these down. I was like flipping through. I like to hear the pages turn. Well, we want you to remember in time past you were Gentiles. Listen to this. In the flesh. Okay? In the flesh we were Gentiles. Who are called uncircumcision. That's what we're called. By that which is called the circumcision. How were they that? In the flesh. How was they made? With hands. Okay? In the flesh. So how is that going to be abolished? How is that going to be done away with? That at that time, you were without Christ. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one. The uncircumcision in the flesh, the circumcision in the flesh, he's made them both one. And hath broken down the middle wall of partition between. How? How did he do it? Having a violence in his flesh. Y'all get that? Now, I'm going to make a statement. Don't misunderstand me. You cannot kill God.
Amen.
Are you listening? God did not die.
Yes, sir.
Right.
How are you going to kill something that's invisible?
That's it.
How are you going to kill a spirit?
Right.
God is spirit. Okay? How are you going to take life of something you cannot see? Jesus said, no man has seen the God at any time, the Father at any time. How are you going to kill that? Well, in the garden, when God created all that we see, he said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden, sin come in the world because of disobedience.
Yes.
That image is done.
Yes.
It's been marred by sin.
So
what did God have to do? He had to make his son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Not flesh that could sin. Could Christ ever sin? No, he couldn't.
Right.
He could have never sinned. But he had to be made, fashioned in the likeness of sinful flesh. God, Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary.
Yes, sir.
She is highly favored.
That's right.
And buddy, in her was planned a seed.
Yes,
are you listening? God moved in.
Right.
And God had the power to wrap his own spirit in the likeness of sinful flesh.
Right.
Are you listening?
Amen.
Are you telling me Jesus is God? I'm telling you 100% without apology that Jesus Christ is God!
Yes, sir.
And when God moved in the flesh man, the flesh man moved with him. Are you listening now? When the Spirit of God spoke, the flesh man Christ spoke! Does that make sense? What did Jesus say? He said, what I've said, I've heard from my Father. I'm just telling you. How much more should you and I be led by that same Spirit? Boy, how much. Quit worrying about tomorrow. It may never come. What you and I need to do is say, God, let me fulfill the purpose you've got for me today. As you move, let me move with you. As you speak, let me speak with you. Amen. I'm talking about being led by the Spirit of God like Christ was in this world. So you and I, amen.
Amen.
I think I'm getting off subject, but I'm just going along with it, okay? I think that's right. The Christ man. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Why? For he shall save his people. I never get over that. So he's talking about the Jews. No. He is talking about some Jews though, ain't he? He ain't just talking about them. He's talking about another people that was not a people. You better believe it. That which was called uncircumcision by that which was called circumcision in the flesh. Thank God, God had to wrap Himself in the likeness of sinful flesh that He could abolish all that in His flesh on the tree, my friend. Thank God that the gate of righteousness can be opened up, that all that would enter in can say, thank God, we praise Your holy name. And lived and moved and did. As God, I'm going to throw His pulpit up. And go on down. That He might reconcile both unto God in two bodies. In one body. Have you ever got a hold of being one? I mean, how do you separate one? I mean, how in the world? How do you separate one? What do you get if you separate one? You still get one. How do you? You can't separate one. Do y'all realize if you're saved by the grace of God, listen, you are one in Christ. I'm at one with you. You're at one with me. Are you listening now? That's pretty, now that's over, a little bit over my head, but I understand what He's trying to say. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that's pretty deep, my brother. We can't get five people that claim to be saved to sit down and talk the Bible without somebody getting mad.
Amen.
And we're at one with one another, ain't we? Lord, help us. Sad, ain't it? How's the world going to know you're a disciple of Christ? How are they going to know it? Because you have love one towards another. That's exactly what He said. Hey man, are you listening to me? If we ever walk like Christ walked, listen to me now very closely. Man, Brother Hines talked about it, and it's right. I believe it's right. If we ever walk like Christ walked in true godliness, we'd probably be suffering a whole lot more than what we are. We ain't suffering nothing. We're at ease in Zion, ain't we? You say you're hollering for suffering. You want to suffer. No, I'm just telling you what the Scripture says. Yea, all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I guarantee if we start losing our lives for the cause of Christ, there'll be a whole lot more closeness going on. You wouldn't mind seeing each other on Sunday morning. Now it's just a habit. Well, good to see you. That's just something we always say, ain't it? But does it really have a love for Christ to meet with one of God's people and say, man, it's good to see you. I'm talking having love one towards another. This world will know. That group right there, they've been with Jesus. Ain't that true? Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself, being the chief cornerstone. In whom all the building loosely flying together, falling apart, rotten, busted at the seams, foundation crumbling out. They're fitly, tightly framed together, growing up unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are building together. Where does God dwell? For an habitation of God through the Spirit. Thank God for the building of God that standeth sure. Amen. The true temple. That's the temple Christ was talking about. Some old Pharisee says, man, 42 years. This temple and building, you're going to rear it up in 3 days. Come on. You know what I find so amazing about that? Jesus never told them any different. He let them go on believe he was talking about that temple they was talking about. He never said, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about me. He never said that. He didn't let them go on believe it. You want to believe it? Go ahead. But the scripture says he spoke of his body. Are you listening? Everything Christ did, he did for his body.
That's right.
Has that ever, I mean, listen now. His body.
That's right.
I will put enmity, God said in Genesis 3,
yes, he did.
Between thee and the woman. Between thy seed and her seed. Now we're going to have to figure out who the woman is. I'm going ahead and tell you, I'm pretty confident. If you preach something different, brother, I'm not trying to move your furniture, but it's just the way it is. He ain't talking about Eve. That's not the woman. He's not talking about Mary. That's not the woman. Who's the woman? It's the church. Okay? Now listen to what I'm telling you now. There's two women in Revelation. I don't know where we're going. I told you I was going to preach everything from Genesis to Revelation. I've been with the Genesis and now I'm in Revelation. There's two women in Revelation. Revelation 12, there's a woman that's sitting upon, that's clothed with the sun, moon under her feet. Now I know she has 12 stars. Okay? Now, some people say that's Israel. You say what you want, that's the church to me. That's the only one that can birth him. Soon as Zion travail, well, we've got to find out what Zion is. Hebrews 12 tell you what Zion is. That's the general assembly. That's the church of the firstborn. It didn't told you what Zion was. Why are you and I going to argue about what Zion is? There's another woman in Revelation chapter 17. That's Mystery Babylon. She's sitting on a beast, 7 heads and 10 horns. Okay? Where we find them both at? In the wilderness. That's amazing, ain't it? The woman in Revelation 12, she went out into the wilderness where God's prepared a place for her. Revelation 17, where's John find this woman clothed with scarlet, full of abominations of the earth? Where's he find her at? He said, the angel Lord took me down to the wilderness.
That's right.
The devil's always got a counterfeit, don't he?
Yes, sir.
Okay? The woman, the enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. That woman's the church of the living God.
Yeah.
How do you know that? Well, Ephesians 5 tells me.
Yes, it is.
It's a great mystery.
Yes, sir.
By speak concerning Christ and the church. He said, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. Where's the first time we heard that at? Genesis chapter 2.
Yep.
That's all right, huh?
Yes.
I believe that's right.
Yes, sir. Amen.
I'm telling you, friend, listen. You say, are you over-spiritualizing things? Well, I thought Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, we're supposed to lift up spiritual sacrifices.
Yes, sir.
You over-spiritualize it, we'll lift up spiritual sacrifices. That sounds like something spiritual to me, don't it?
Yeah.
Let me read the other one he says. We're going somewhere. I'm telling you, friend, listen to me now. This thing's all about Christ. We got too many people wanting to look at me. Thank God. Hey, listen, praise God. We got people wanting to see what we've done, what we can do. You can't do anything outside of Christ that account for anything. Lord, help us. Where am I at? I'm in 2 Peter. I need to be in 1st. Wherefore, spiritual sacrifice, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up. Don't over-spiritualize it now. You, hey, you're a spiritual house.
Yes, sir.
Sounds spiritual to me, don't it?
Yeah.
Okay? Here we go. Let's go ahead and do verse 4. So 1 Peter chapter 2, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifice set to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion. We didn't told you what Zion was. That's the city of God. That's the general assembly. It's the church of the firstborn. Are you saying this? He's lighter in Zion. A chief cornerstone. Elect, precious. He that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Have you believed that today? How precious is he? Boy, you can't exalt him enough. You can't lift him up high enough. My God, brother, I believe he is precious. He's elect. Chosen of God. Say, do you believe in that election? You better believe I do. If I didn't, I wouldn't believe what that book says. How was you elected? In Christ. When he was elected, I was elected with him. How else am I going to look at it? When he was chosen, I chose him with him. It's always been about that. The enmity in the garden. And all through time, the devil's tried to do everything he can to derail what God's already doing and done. Are you listening? That's why them Old Testament prophets was hated so much, you see. They were seeing some things that people didn't understand. They're all looking for this physical kingdom going to be raised up on the earth so they can sit there and glory in it. And Jesus had to come on the scene and say, "Man, hey, I'm going to tell you something. My kingdom ain't of this world. If it was, my servants would fight."
Amen.
So my question is, if his kingdom ain't of this world, how come men's trying to make it part of this world?
That's right. That's good right there.
Why are they so bent on out of shape? Thank God they're all worried about what's going on over there in Israel. I ain't worried a bit about it. Israel's God's time clock. Come on now. Where you find that at in the Bible? I'm going to tell you what God's time clock is. Him. When he's ready, he will not tarry. He's coming. Ain't that right? What are they looking for? They're looking for that blessed hope. My dear brother read it. And the appearing of our great God. That's what I'm looking for. When's he coming? I don't know. He's coming. I can tell you that. You a pre-tribber? Nope. I'm not pre-mid or post. I just believe he's coming. Forget the titles. I just believe he's coming. You can't go wrong with that, friend. You can't preach nothing false by preaching he's coming. You start labeling yourself, you might make yourself look ignorant. How do you keep from that? Quit labeling yourself. What do you believe, preacher? I believe he's coming.
Amen.
When's he coming? You don't know it. I don't either. All I can tell you is watch him pray, friend. That's what Jesus said, ain't it? Hell, look at me like a heretic. Well, I'm out of the pre-trib circle. I'm out of the mid-trib circle. I'm out of the post-trib circle. What circle you in? Well, I'm just in Christ. How'd I get on that about being about the chief cornerstone? Well, when did he become the headstone in the corner? Well, he hung there on the old tree.
Yes, he did.
Men cussed him, wagged their head at him, beat a crown of thorns in his brow, and there he was, wagging their heads, "If thou be who you said you are, come down from the cross. Save yourself if you be the Son of God. And save us too." well. There's a greater work to be done. And at the right time, he gave up the ghost. God did not die. But the flesh man had to. He had to abolish it. He had to do away with it. And so they came, Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus was there. They took the lifeless body of Jesus Christ. They wrapped it and did all they did to it for the burial, laid him in a borrowed tomb. But in 3 days.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
They rejected the stone.
They
wanted nothing to do with him. But in 3 days, that same spirit that raised up Christ, thank God, my friend, he became the headstone of the corner, and he was laid a sure foundation. You better believe it. And now you and I are builded up together in him. And Christ is the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He filleth all in all. Boy, I can't wrap my mind around all that. I'm telling you something, Brother Hyde. There's something special about his body. Well, I was going to ask some of you men to raise your hand, but I'm a little afraid to. But raise your hand if you hate your wife. No man yet hateth his own self. I'm sure you just didn't get up this morning and just slap some clothes on and I don't care how I look. Got that bed head, you know, hair all out of whack. Look like you just got up from a nightmare. No, you stood before a mirror. Come on now. You want to make sure the cow licked in it. Mine's probably standing up. I just forget about it. You made sure the cow lick wasn't there. Okay, you brush your teeth. You don't want nobody to smell that mess. Ain't that right? You put some deodorant on, I hope you did. Don't be one of these naturalists that don't believe in it. Please do, for the sake of others. You did that. Did you not? You took care of yourself. Some of you may have took a shower this morning. You may take it when you go home this evening, but you're going to take one. Why? Because you cherish and nurture yourself. Well, so does Christ the body. Ain't that right? Everything he does for his body. You realize that today? This is the day, the psalmist said, which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. Are you rejoicing in that today? Because it's still there. That foundation's still standing sure. Where is it going? Nowhere. How far is it going? Well, according to Paul in Ephesians chapter 3, there will be glory in the church throughout all ages.
Yeah.
World without end. It ain't never going to stop, friend. Thank God, I'm telling you, friend, this thing's a going for eternity, for forever and ever and ever and ever. We will rejoice in the day that the Lord's made. Thank God, it's the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in my eyes. I hope it is yours. Amen. That's it.
Thank God for the preaching. Amen. I love the truth. I love the truth. Amen. Thank God for the truth and that preach the word of God. Amen. Appreciate Brother Shook. Thank God for it. Amen. He preaches on the street every week. Every week. Don't you, Brother Shook? You and your brother. He's got a twin brother, identical twins, right? That's right. They got where y'all go and preach every week on the street.
Every week.
How many years you done?
20 years.
I appreciate that, don't you?
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what you heard this morning, he preaches. That's what he preaches. I appreciate a man preaches like that. I tell you what, brother, you will not go nowhere else in this day and hear that kind of truth. Boy, that was wonderful. I mean, wonderful. My heart rejoices to the truth, praise God. Amen. Some good meeting, good preaching.
Amen. Thank God for preaching. Yes. Amen. Thank God for the good truth. Amen. Bless my heart. This, me and this brother have some good conversations now. Amen. And but buddy, I'm telling you, I just thank God for it. I do. I bless the Lord for it. Amen. Man, help my heart. Amen. Bless the Lord. Sunday school lessons right along with it this morning. Right, he used Romans 8:4 on that, what you the likenesses. All that just come together. Amen. Well, we're going to go out here and eat together. Amen. I hope everybody will stay. I don't want nobody to go home. We're going to eat together. If we got enough food, if we don't, we'll buy some more. Amen. Amen. Well, let's stand. We'll have prayer. And that's God's blessing. And we'll assemble out there and have a good meal together. And I know y'all hungry. Amen.